testing.
All right, so we're rolling. My name is Luke. I am interviewing Jason Morningstar for C-Page XX by Pellegrin Press. We're going to do a short interview, Jason. We'll ask you, I think, about 9 questions.
Sounds good.
So thanks for coming. Thanks for sitting down.
I'm glad to be here.
Good. So, excellent. We'll see if we can change your mind by the end of it. So, you have published 3 games, to my knowledge.
That's true.
Shab Al-Hiri Roach. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Yeah.
Drowning and Falling, which you did as a game for charity. You donated your profits to charity.
That's
right?
True.
I'm envious of that game, by the way.
Really?
Profoundly envious.
Well, thank you.
And The Gray Ranks, which also I'm envious of. that's a really, really cool game.
Thanks, Luke.
Your first game was the Shab Al-Hiri Roach, which I confess I've never played. I'm blushing.
Man, we need to fix that because you would tear it up.
You think?
Yeah, I do.
Well, I'm breaking shit in Clyde's world. Clyde's giving me the finger.
We'll fix it in post, right?
Yeah, we'll fix that shit in post. Or not. So why do you think I would tear it up in the Roach?
Oh, it's a game that rewards aggressive play. It's a game that has clear strategies toward various outcomes, both positive and negative. I just think that you would enjoy that aspect of it, and I've seen you chew the scenery, and that's a requirement, so yeah, I think you'd like it.
I think I'm Pacino-like?
Yeah, there you go.
Aww.
Pacino-like.
Aww.
No, that's no good? All right.
I don't know. I'm always dismayed when I watch Al chew the scenery.
What can I tell you?
Interesting. Does The Gray Ranks reward scenery chewing?
No, not so much.
The Gray Ranks is about children in the Warsaw Uprising, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct.
The Polish youth, the Gray Ranks, is that what they're called?
I can't
remember the Polish name. Fighting Nazi occupiers in Warsaw in 1944.
That's right.
Right. I read your first draft of the game, and I was damn fucking impressed then. that was at Mace 2006?
2005.
2005?
Yeah. And it was a contest entry.
Right.
Which you were judging.
Yeah, which somehow I got wrangled into. And I remember from reading that draft in particular that the game was very, very focused on the... on what it was to be a teenager under these conditions and to be kind of torn between the ideas of, you know, love and loyalty and patriotism and self-sacrifice.
And those all come up in play very much, and that's very intentional.
Interesting. So does The Gray Ranks reward the same kind of active, aggressive, and tactical play that Shab Al-Hiri Roach rewards?
It absolutely does, and there's an additional element to it in that you're part of a crew, you're on a team, and you want your team to succeed ultimately, and at various points in the game, you or your character and the characters of the other players are going to be in danger. And when I say in danger, they're going to be in danger of being written out of the story through choices they make and just through bad luck. And you will always have some power to affect those changes. So there'll be points in the game, for example, when they're drifting towards suicidal depression. And if you don't want them to go there, then you need to make decisions that may not be optimal for you to prevent that. And so there's an element that's layered on top of optimizing things for your own character as well. And of course, it's a game that it has a set progression that ends in defeat. You can't change the fact that the Nazis decimate Warsaw. It's going to happen. You can't change the fact that the Russians are going to stop at the Vistula and watch it happen. The game is an internal one. It's about how you choose to be defeated.
Right.
And that's a really powerful thing, I think.
So, there's a lot of interesting things in there. It's a tragic arc.
I think it is a
classically tragic arc. The Roach, if I'm not mistaken, I've seen it played. I've read a lot about it. and read sections of the game myself, seems to have a bit more of a comic arc.
Oh, yeah, it's clearly it's played for black comedy. You couldn't play it any other way. It's a funny game. It's supposed to be.
Do you feel the need to move toward tragedy after making two comic games, actually? Because Drowning and Falling is also a comic
game. Right, it is.
Drowning and Falling, I think it's a classic fantasy adventure game in which you can only drown and fall.
That's right.
Yeah.
The only outcomes of conflicts are drowning or falling.
Right. So did you feel motivated by those two designs to move toward something more tragic?
I didn't. It certainly wasn't a conscious thing. I mean, I didn't say, you know, I don't want to get pigeonholed as the funny ha-ha guy. That wasn't my intention. I think that the game became what it needed to become. So the subject matter that fascinated me, and then that I had some visceral connection to, just demanded that it be a game that was unspeakably sad sometimes, and that's just how it came out. So in my case, no, I didn't make a conscious decision to change it up.
Sure.
I'm glad I did, but. That's just how it came out.
Why are you glad?
Well, because I think that it challenged me in different ways, and I don't want to be pigeonholed as any one thing, and so I think it's healthy to explore different sort of emotional tones or different sorts of story arcs to explore.
Sure. Well, you mentioned that it challenged you in different ways. So could you talk a little bit about how the roach challenged your sensibilities as a designer, that being your first design, and then how Prey Ranks challenged you differently?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, of course, The Roach is my first thing that got published. Mm-hmm. So there were huge challenges associated with just learning what made a game. I think every designer was previously a frustrated designer, right?
Of course.
Kit bashing and, homebrewing, I did that all my life. But taking something to a point where I wanted to share it with an audience where I felt excited and proud enough of it that I felt like it was worth in distributing and ultimately charging people $20 for. That's a big deal, and I feel like that's a big responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that the design work associated with the Roach was framed by those kinds of questions. Mm-hmm. I had an idea and a core mechanic that I thought were really solid, and it was a matter of tuning those to a point where I felt good about it, good about sharing it. Certainly that was different from Gray Ranks, where I was already confident with that stuff. Then it became a matter of one, honoring the ground truth, because I care a lot. In that game, I'm talking about a real event and real people, and the worst thing in the world for me would be to have someone who was in the Gray Ranks read it and be like, this is bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is an insult to me and what I experienced.
Hmm.
And that was sort of in the back of my head as I worked on the game, that needed to be important. And that was a good decision because it forced me into certain decisions that made the game better.
Mm-hmm.
It very much better, I think.
Interesting. So much, you're much more constrained by your material in your latest game,
right?
But to the point where those constraints unlocked your creativity.
I think so, and offered me a way into the material that was accessible to players, because certainly for an American audience, it's pretty obscure.
Yeah.
To say, hey, you're going to be playing in these 60 days in 1944 in this one town.
Right.
You can't expect people to have the background to do that in a way that offers some verisimilitude without giving them a hand. And it was the piece that was sort of the piece that I think makes the game really fun and interesting, is that I give you that hand.
Great.
And the ways that I do that are cool.
Excellent. The title is very evocative, too. The title definitely makes me want to pick it up and see what it's about. I think it's a very grabby title.
Thanks. It's just such an astonishing story, you know? Mm-hmm. And then to be able to tell kind of universal tales within that.
Right.
The idea of being a child soldier is sadly pretty universal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something people can can think about, and I think that's productive and useful, mm-hmm. in addition to being an engaging experience as a player.
Sure, sure. Excellent. Well, thank you. All right, so I'd like to move on to the next segment.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are very interesting stuff there. So do you play your games?
I do. I ran Grey Ranks yesterday. The last time I played the Roach was at a mini-con in North Carolina. I try to as much as I can.
So mini-con in North Carolina recently?
It would have been 6 months ago.
6 months ago?
Yeah.
Are you tired of the Roach? Like, I don't mean that in a pejorative way either. But
no, I understand. It's funny. When I sat down to play it, I was tired of it. And I hadn't played it in 6 months previously. And I was like, oh, man. Mm-hmm. And then I reread it, you know, in preparation of playing again. And I was like, this is all right. Mm-hmm. I did okay here. I can get behind this.
Uh-huh.
And it was lots of fun. So, no, it's still in some ways evergreen for me. And also, I wrote a supplement for it last year, mm-hmm. that just sort of changed up the setting and put it in a different time and place, and that also made it more fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I want to get this straight. You said you played the Roach about twice in the last year.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Did you play it more frequently before that?
Well, yeah. Certainly, when it came out, I was playing it much more frequently. Certainly, in the period between playtesting and locking it down and getting it printed, there was a lot of play.
Of course.
And that gradually slowed down as I started picking up with other games. And I have a pretty active gaming life anyway, with you know, other things going on.
Right. You can name drop. It's okay.
No, I'm not going to do that. No, that's not
classy.
Talk
about what you do.
That's not classy. No. I think I play a lot more when it's before it's in the can, so to speak.
Interesting. A lot of play for the game in the playtesting period.
Oh, yeah.
Pre-release.
Crazy amounts.
And then less so. So have you felt that way with Grey Ranks?
Yeah, I think so. And Grey Ranks is really an event kind of game. It's designed, it's structured to be played over 3 sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the kind of thing that I think you would pick up and play over and over again without a lot of breathing room in between.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty intense.
It is. It's a very intense experience to play. Mm-hmm. And rewarding, but not. It's not a light game.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it doesn't get consistent play. But I found myself running a lot of one-shots of it, where I pick a portion of the game to sort of showcase.
Sure, sure, sure. Interesting. So the... just to go back to what you said, so when you sat down to play the Roach again, you said, you know, oh, this is all right. Did you also feel a sense of relief going back and playing something lighter than the Grey Ranks, which I imagine you had been immersed in pretty heavily?
Right, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
2 years of development or something for that
18
game, right?
18 months, yeah.
18 months, right.
And, yeah, I'd been just living and breathing it. Yeah, it was right. A real pleasure. And that was a case where someone asked me, they said, please, can you just run this for us?
Mm-hmm.
You know, me and my pals here would really like to play.
Mm-hmm.
And I was tired and was mm-hmm. not really in the mood. And I said, oh, okay. I mean, I can't refuse that request.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's really awesome that you want to play my game.
Sure,
I'm
sure.
I'm not going to let you down. And so I went back and I reread it realized that it was, you know, it's a solid game and it was going to be fun. And we had a great time.
Excellent.
So,
did you think about... if you can remember, I mean, this might be asking a lot, this might be reaching, but during that play experience, or maybe even after, did you run a little inventory in your head about the designs? Did you reassess the Roach as compared to like what you had been designing in the Grey Ranks?
Oh, I did, absolutely. And
can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure, I'd be happy to. And of course, you know, design's an iterative process. The choices that I made for Grey Ranks were completely informed by, you know, several years of play of a fairly similar game, in that it, you know, mm-hmm. The Roach is tightly constrained, it's episodic, it uses a similar sort of die mechanic, and all of that, you know, informed the, you know, the decisions I made later.
Mm-hmm.
I lost my train of thought. What was I talking about?
So after you had played the Roach again,
oh,
you came
right.
back to it,
oh, yeah.
And like,
so,
did you run that inventory
so,
down
right.
your head?
So looking at the Chevalier Roach from the perspective of somebody who just designed a game that had evolved from it, mm-hmm. in many ways.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I see things that I would do different now.
Mm-hmm.
Big things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I have a nagging desire when I get time to write a little addendum or something to just to share with people and say, here's some things I've learned about this game. Mm-hmm. And here's some things that you can do that'll make it better. And here's some things you can do that'll make it quicker or more punchy or more fun. Mm-hmm. And I haven't done that yet, but definitely. Mm-hmm. And some design choices as well that can't be fixed.
Sure.
That I would change now.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. Thanks.
Does that surprise you?
It's everyone has a different perspective. I talked to Vincent about this in the previous interview at an undetermined time. and I've also, this is a question that interests me about design in general, and I've asked a lot of our designer friends about this. So I'm just always fascinated by people's answers.
Okay.
You know, some people like to go back and tinker. Some people like to leave stuff alone. It's really neat to hear your perspective.
Okay.
And I just love those moments, too. I know that moment of playing an older game with a new perspective. And I know that I also know that exact moment of, hey, you know, this is all right.
Yeah, yeah. And like, that's a satisfying feeling.
Yeah, oh, hell yeah. It's a relief. It's very satisfying. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Well, great. I'd like to ask you three more questions. They're kind of shotgun style. Bam, bam, bam.
Okay.
Yes or no, but I'm happy to take elaboration on any of them. The first one is, do you consider yourself a game designer?
That's a great question. Yes, I do.
Interesting. Why is it a great question?
Oh, just because it gives me pause, because that's a title. That's a sort of, it's something that you, I think you have to sort of own that. Mm-hmm. And I guess I'm owning it right now. So, all right.
Excellent. Do you consider game design an art?
Oh, man, no. I'm going to say a big no to that. I'm anxious to hear what other people say. I do not. I think that there's art associated with the process of designing a game. There are pieces of it that clearly are, but no.
Okay. Interesting. The final question for the big money: do you consider yourself an artist?
Oh, now see, that's not fair. that's no. I guess, I mean, yes, absolutely. I'm making art with pieces of what I do.
Okay.
That's a temporizing, weak sauce answer. I know that. But, like, you know, I really feel that way. And I think that the process, the product of play can be art. I honestly do.
Oh, interesting. So the product of design, no. Product of play, yes.
Yeah, okay, I'll stick with that. I may amend my answer on further thought. That's, you kind of ambushed me with that one.
They are definitely ambush bushwhacking questions.
Okay. I don't want to sound like a wanker, you know? I
absolutely don't sound like a wanker.
All right. Well,
in this interview, at least.
Our public will be the judge.
Amen. Well, thank you very much for sitting down here.
That's
I really
my pleasure.
Appreciate it.
It's good to talk to you.
Yeah, it was very nice talking to you, too. And we'll talk more soon.
Sounds good.
Excellent. Thank you.